Spell the man's name, MF Doom.
Yes, we cannot mess that up in any of our promotional. Oh, we will be attacked by the hip hop head community, rightfully so.
Okay, all caps, MF Doom. Good point, because I might not have, and I might have sounded very, very a certain way.
Yeah.
Well, hello, yeah. Kids. MF Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
MF Doom.
MF period Doom. What is the metal face? MF.
Metal
right?
face. Metal face, metal fingers, MF-er, metal fellow. There was another guy, who he was friends with named MF Grimm, who was MF-er. Like it stood for MF-er. So,
all right.
We're buddies. They released a little EP together early on.
All right, man. Well, I got to ask you. So, on this After Dark, we're going to do a little speculation about his demise. Is he still around?
Yeah.
And then we're going to listen to a little bit, and I'm going to have a reaction.
Yeah. It might be something you heard. The thing I think you might have heard. I'm not sure. Okay.
That's fine. But the kids like that, like where somebody does a reaction video.
Yeah. I watched in Mad Villainy in particular is a very popular reaction video because it's so good that when you give it to like, there's like a lot of like heavy metal guy reacts to whatever. Yeah, and they're always like, this is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. They lose it.
It's like
I like when a bunch of like the hip hop guys listen to Tool. Like, yeah. What? They're like, this is so groovy. What is this? I'm like, this is great. Yeah. But then are you ready to rap? You want to rap and get it out of the way? Let's go.
Okay. I'm going to try.
You got it.
Oh, man, this is, I'm glad this is on the After Dark.
This is a moment.
When I was reading the lyric, I was falling into rapping because you almost can't not.
That's what I'm saying.
The way it's assembled, right? It's like it forces you into that mode.
All right, Brad, you're going to make Eminem proud.
Oh, my God. I wish I could. I can't really remember the beat to this very well because I'm not a music guy. This is why we talk about writers. But this is his great album from the great album Mad Villainy, the closing track, Rhinestone Cowboy, which is just a hilarious title. I don't even really know what he means by it. I mean, it's from a classic country song, Rhinestone Cowboy, but this is MF Doom's version. Hold the cold one like he hold an old gun, like he hold the microphone and stole the show for fun, or a foe for ransom, flows his handsome O's in tandem, anthem, random, tantrum, phantom of the grand old Opry, ask the dumb hottie, mask pump shoddy, somebody stop me. Hardly come sloppy on a retarded hard copy, after rocking parties he departed in a jalopy. Watch the drop top poppy, known as the grimy, limey, slimy, try me, blimey, simply smashing in a fashion that's timely, mad villain dashing in a beat rhyme crime spree. We rock the house like rock and roll, got more sock than a sock with a hole, set the stage with the goal to have the game locked in a cage, getting shocked with a pole, overthrow him like throwing Rover a biscuit. A lot of bitches think he's overly chauvinistic, let go of his dick if that's the case, rats what a waste, there's more cats to chase, dogs he got it like new powers, woke up, rode and spit the shit in a few hours, sheesh, been unleashed since the glee club, had your fam saying please make me a dub, well since you asked kindly where he been behind the mask, who can't find me, you're blind in the wine zone, leave your mind blown when he shine with a nine. He's a rhinestone cowboy.
I'm gonna do
verse two.
Do it.
No, enough. Goonie Goo-Goo, Loony Cuckoo, like Gary Gnu off New Zoo Review, but who knew the mask had a loose screw? Hell, could hardly tell. Had to tighten it up like the Drells and Archie Bell. It speaks well of the hyper bass. Wasn't even tweaked and it leaked into cyberspace. Can't wait for the snipes to place at least a track list in bold print typeface. Stop for a year, come back with a thumbtacks pop full of beer. We're hip-hop sharecroppers. Used to wear flip-flops, now rare gear coppers. He's in it for the quiche. You might as well not ask him for no free shit, capiche? Oh, my aching hands from raking in grands and breaking in mic stands. Villain, his smile stuns your chick. While he put himself in your shoes, run your kicks. You heard it on the radio, tape it, play it in your stereo. Your crew will go ape shit. raw lyrics. He smells them like a hunch. The same intuition that tells him Spike the Punch curses. He's truly the worstest. With enough rhymes to spread throughout the boundless universes. Let the beat blast. You told him wear the mask. He said, you bet your sweet ass. It's made of fine chrome alloy. Find him on the grind. He's the rhinestone cowboy.
All right, Brad Kelly raps on the latest.
That wasn't the worst rap ever. I mean, Dude, I didn't write it.
So, you had you had like a few stumbles, but that is not easy. No. And you did it without a warm up. I mean, I guess the 2.5 hours we did on it, but yeah, dude, I was getting into it, and you can kind of pick up on the cadence and how it's kind of funky and.
Mm-hmm. It's all over the place.
A lot of rock and roll. There's a lot of like boom, boom, boom.
That track in particular, he's going for a. And dude, he had the one thing I send to people sometimes as like a recommendation, and it's not even a song, really. It's an interlude on Mad Villainy, which is the Mad Villain's Bar Beat. What is it? It's Mad Villain's Bistro.
Yeah, and
it's
just this bistro on the water.
On the water. We'll bring you a finest assortment of the finest things. Yeah. It's just a minute and a half of that. And then it cuts into some weirdo, like, yeah.
It is a kind of like radio theater. It's a kind of these are albums. So I think that's something that didn't get brought up on the episode. Yeah. But that's fine. It's just these are, you got to listen to Mad Villainy from beginning to end. Put the headphones on.
Yep.
Take a Zanny.
Yeah.
whatever you want to do. Go clean. Whatever works for you. Hit the gym for 5 hours and then listen to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole thing. And there's instrumental interludes that don't have MF Doom rapping. There's one song that's Madlib is rapping, like just out of nowhere. It's such a bizarre Shadows of Tomorrow. It's a beautiful track. So yeah, it's quite an album. It's really one of the best sort of well-known albums of the 2000s, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely top 10.
Yeah,
top 25 for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, that's really fun, man. So now, are you going to play something for me?
Well, I sent you something in the chat.
Mm,
I don't know if we can play it so it comes through the ears, comes through on the audio here or not.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So I'm not going to, for the After Dark, I'm not going to splice it in.
Okay.
Let me see what I can do here.
I don't know
if
you can like play your...
Yeah, I would have to put it through something else. So you're asking me. So all I'm going to do is talk over this. So you sent me, it's like a Victor Vaughn. Mm-hmm. Is it a verse inside? Because it sent me to a timestamp.
Yeah, well, it's the hidden track because there's 3 minutes of rain of thunderstorm sounds at the beginning.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Fun. So this is from the untitled, aka Change the Beat bonus track. I'm not gonna splice this in.
Okay.
For this audio, but I'm gonna listen to it right now, and I'm gonna vamp as I'm listening. All right. So sounds like rain. Mm-hmm. Now there's a beat and it's kind of funky here. Okay, what's going on? Yeah, this is so cool, man. Like this sound, it sounds like kind of a mystery movie from the 70s, like a It's just such a vibe, man. And like where do they get these samples from?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the art of it.
Yeah. And this is in the Victor Vaughn character.
Mm-hmm.
The sound is so cool. Like it's smooth and it has that old school hip hop kind of like the beats sound very.
Oh, it's head noddy. It's 4/4. Yeah. It's like,
yeah. Doom, boom. Yeah. It's like that. But then the raps are just insane. He's going to rap for 3 minutes straight, right? Without a breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So funny. Yeah, he really ain't got shit to say, like Timmy McVeigh.
There's a line in there, something about their ass wax tax bill or something.
It's so good. I'm going to listen to the rest of this after because there's no easy way for me to like play it.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
But dude, that's so cool. And so I was listening to Untitled, aka Change the Beat bonus track from Victor Vaughn. It's almost. So the reason that Mad Villainy is kind of the like accessible is that it has that, again, that kind of poppy Beatles aesthetic. Yeah, there's enough changes. It's like their Sergeant Pepper, right? Like,
it is. Yeah. Yeah.
There's enough changes. There's enough bangers on there where you can kind of go, oh, America's Most Blooded. Yeah, like, yeah, okay. Yeah. So normies can kind of get on into it, but it also goes hard and heavy enough that it's like if you're not into hip hop or rap, it's like kind of a way in a funny way.
Well, and then it's weird, but the tracks are mostly like two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
So like if you don't like them, they're short enough where like by the time you've gone, wait, what am I listening to? It's over.
Right. And then it's so something totally new.
Right.
There are no two tracks on that album that are remotely like one another. In a way, getting back to Joyce, where each chapter is its own style, its own complete world, and yet as a whole, it creates this vibe and this mood. Whereas this Victor Vaughn thing, this is like, it feels like somebody shadow boxing, and it's a little more monotone.
It all sounds similar.
Monotone is the wrong word.
It sounds like of a piece. It sounds
But his raps are center stage. It's all just about the lyrics and just how filthy he is, and how you just can't even believe it's happening. It's like, what the fuck? And you could just imagine this guy, you know, on a street corner. He would just stop traffic. Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I'm looking up the Change the Beat, because Change the Beat that I sent you might be actually my favorite Doom track. It's so smooth, but it's still got all the humor in there.
You gonna read the lyrics?
I want to read some of the lyrics, because it's got all that. If I can get it to come up here, it's got all that humor, but the Victor Vaughn that project, the Vaudeville Villain project, felt the most when he talks about being Doom saw himself as a writer. And the thing about
that comes across.
Yeah, and the thing about hip hop that I think people who don't like hip hop don't quite understand. And this isn't me saying that hip hop is the preeminent genre. This is just trying to articulate what I think is interesting about it as a genre, that it does maybe better than most other genres. Is it's about creating a world that you can then inhabit. So Doom isn't trying to tell you a specific story about the character Doom doing something. What he's trying to do is set all of these little kind of pieces to outline a world in which Doom lives. So it's not about, the song isn't about the character of MF Doom hatching a plot to do this thing. It's all about it's the world building around it, but the world building is all based on like vibes and specific things that he might say or somebody might say to him. And then the character lives in that world that he sort of outlined.
It's like a project of creating culture.
Yeah.
Intentionally culture making. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is some of the lines from Change That Beat. A modern day Marvel, but terrible, better, horrible. When he grabbed the mic from Sun, he crushed up all his metacarpals. He said he ain't mean it, totally by accident. After the show, he didn't follow where your taxi went. Will this be available on Wax? Ask Max Mill. I don't know what that means. They on the opposition to his ass whack tax bill, but will it pass the Senate? Slumlord tenant, and it's super like 1A. Have a fun stay. One day he planned to put in a runway with enough land for his own projects and gunplay. Section 8 penthouse made look like Faye Dunaway. A lot of y'all ass out like gay runaways.
Damn. Jesus. So yeah, and there's this trash talk that's going on too, which is at the heart of the whole hip-hop thing. It's the whole battling. Song. Did he ever battle or whatever it is?
I don't think he really did. He must have when he was a kid. He had to have, you know, because I don't think you could be a rapper in like the 90s without doing it. But
Warriors come out to play.
Yeah, he lived in that world for sure. So yeah, it's just it's so much of it's so fun. And the humor of it is like you gotta look for the jokes because they're in there, you know? And he will do stuff, and he does stuff where like there's some tracks where he sets it up. So what I'm trying to think of the one verse where he said, what this party needs is it's set up. So the rhyme is, what this party needs is more hoes. Right. But what he says is what this party needs is more booze. Put yourself in your own shoes.
I remember that.
But the rhyme of hose is so implied that you like almost hear it, but he doesn't. And he does that like pretty that sort of thing pretty often. Yeah. So he's playing with what's not said too, you know.
There's a laugh in every
Sure.
Not
for
everyone, but more than not, very funny.
Yeah
I like that sense of humor that he has. And even the way he raps too, like you can tell he's not taking himself way too seriously.
No,
but he also knows how skilled he is and enjoys being that skilled.
Yeah. No, and he's having fun with it. And you know, I think I can't imagine the notebooks he had that didn't get recorded. Oh, it's got to be just endless, I'm sure.
I wonder. So now, what if he's not dead? What if this is he's faked his death?
Right.
Let's indulge a little bit. This is pretty recent. There's family.
Sure.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but let's play along. This is a guy who created a myth and. Mm-hmm. What if maybe he's in Brooklyn right now
Well, people, this is the thing, is people legitimately don't know what he looked like.
Right.
I mean, you can find pictures of him. I've seen pictures of him without the mask on as an adult. There's a lot of pictures when he was in KMD because he wasn't wearing the mask, but he looked different as an adult. And I've seen those pictures and I'm of like this weird respect. Like I wouldn't even share those. Like I'm not going to put those on the Twitter. Like somebody got some surreptitious photo of him sleeping in the studio one time. It's just like, he didn't want anybody to see that. I don't want to see that. Like, you know, it just seems weird. Yeah. So he could walk among us and nobody would know. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he got enough scratch together and he created a false identity. That's how he got back to the States.
You know, could exactly. Be. It could be. I mean, that's a very super villain move for sure. Yeah.
Well, then what if he comes back in 5 years with a new album?
That would be wild.
Wouldn't that be
under some new name and never admits it, you know,
just sounds a lot like me.
Right.
I sound like that metal face.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
But it sounds, I mean, if the family is putting out notices and things,
I think it's real. Now, it would be the supervillain move for sure. And you've got the guy, he's the guy who sent out Doombots to perform in his stead.
Did not dwell on as much. It didn't quite register with me what you were telling me.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, what? But that's so funny. It's so inauthentic. Like it's very counterintuitive, but he must have just not wanted to mess with it.
This is the thing is many people said he didn't like live performance. That's not, he's a basement dweller, loot digger. Another bit
of a Beatles type thing where the Beatles stopped playing out.
Yeah, rocking the show wasn't really what he wanted to do. You can see some live performances of his that are pretty good. He put out a live album called Live from Planet X, which frankly, it wasn't recorded very well is one thing. So in hip hop shows are I've been to a lot of hip hop shows and not recently, but when I was, you know, a young guy, I went to a lot of hip hop shows. And to be honest, part of the enjoyment of them is the people rapping along and jumping and but the actual sound quality and things, it's tricky in a hip hop show for that to come across effectively. Some people pull it off. The Roots is an incredible live show. There are some old hand acts who've been doing it for a long time. They know how to put a show on. But like, you know, you see somebody who's got one album out, they don't really know how to do a show. So it's a lot of yelling. It's a lot of like, you know, crowd work kind of stuff. And it's fun, but it doesn't translate to like a live album all that well. You know, you're not going to sit around and like listen to a bunch of people yelling at each other.
I'm already in crypto. I don't need more of that in my life.
Right. But he would send out these Doombots and they would, you know, at first he would perform in the background, like behind backstage, and they would just pantomime, and then later they would just send them out. You know, and
what was like pre-recorded. That must have pissed some people off.
I think he lost a lot of fans, and the head of Lex Records was like trying to tell him, was like, you're alienating your fan base. He's like, no, it's an art project, you gotta understand, this is the culmination of what the Doom thing is. I'm sending out Doom bots, man. Just like Dr. Doom did in the cartoons. Because in the comic books and the cartoons, Dr. Doom had Doom bots that he sent out, and Fantastic Four would like kill it, and they'd be like, "Oh my god, it's a robot! It's not Dr. Doom."
Do you think that was just thing, right? Him just laying on a bit of a little shtick to get out of it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was part of it. I think this is the thing. I think he was. I think the things that he did that were these kind of bold artistic statements were partially him having a cover for, you know, not wanting to do something, not wanting to perform live, not wanting people to know him personally.
Yeah,
not,
yeah, you know? Yeah.
And then you come. Up, you know, we create layers between us and other people, and you know, to some extent, and have creative reasons that you know we are able to say for why we do that. But who knows?
Hey, but this guy made it work, and
he did.
He's iconic hip hop.
This is the thing: it's because he did it. He did it all the way, right? Like every time he was in public, he's wearing the mask. You know, He committed to the bit.
Yes.
Hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's in a Cosby sweater. He's wearing the mask. He's at. Right. Yeah. He's on a sailboat wearing the mask.
Wearing the mask, swimming in a pool, dressed up like Santa, having out gifts, wearing the mask. Right. Yeah. But on a darker note, so we'll talk a little bit about his death. You know, I think there is some slim possibility that he's still alive. When it first happened, I was convinced he was still alive. And then like the more I read into it, I kind of realized like, no, I don't actually think that he's alive. But I looked to see if any cause of death had been released. And there hasn't been, but there was one article, I think it was in The Guardian, it was in a UK paper that said that the cause of death was suicide.
Oh.
It only shows up in one place and in a Reddit comment thread. And in the Reddit comment thread, it's speculation. And so the speculation for this theory is that he just never got over his son's death.
Oh.
So 3 years go by and he could never get out of it. But nobody knows for sure. Mm. You know, 49-year-old guys don't die that often. Unless it's drugs or suicide or a car accident, really?
I hope that wasn't it.
Me too. I mean, it's. I think it's out there as a possibility for sure, and I don't want anybody, you know, think that I'm saying that is what happened. But when there's no explanation in the family, and it's their right to do this, hasn't announced what it was, you know, speculation enters, and. You know, you're 49 years old, known to have somewhat of a depressive temperament, had these dark moments in your life. It's not that far-fetched.
Mm.
Unfortunately.
And so you listen to a lot of this podcast research this. Was there anything else that you dug into? Was it just a lot of online stuff?
It was all online. There's, you know, there's no MF Doom biography. You know, there's no biographies of any people really in the rap world, you know, just for whatever reason. There's a few, but not many. But yeah, I read every freaking read or listened to basically every interview I could find of him.
It was a really smooth episode. You knew the points you were going to hit. You didn't have a structure like outside the work. It was the work, right?
And yeah, yeah.
This,
yeah.
That, this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's tricky because he there isn't that much biographical information about him. So there's not a lot of like anecdotes about like, you know, a specific moment in his life or something, because nobody really knew it. Even this thing, I mean, even this podcast, it was put together by his best friend as a teenager, who they remained friends, but not all that much in touch. And even that, like after like 2005, it kind of drifts off. Mm. it's like there's not that many.
What's the name of that podcast again?
It's called Did I Ever Tell You the One About, and this season is called Did I Ever Tell You the One About MF Doom.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really well put together. They do interviews with there's interviews with like all kinds of people that he grew up with and who he hung out with and that sort of thing. And there's a lovely touching eulogy episode where they just go to like all these people who knew him personally and have them say a little bit about Doom and then wrap their favorite MF Doom verse.
Oh, nice.
Much like the After Dark. Well, except a lot of these guys are actually good rappers.
They can actually rap.
So it's like, yeah, that's pretty damn good.
Nice. Yeah, well, so Brad, cool. You did a fabulous job. I hope people listening all the way through the episode and then all the way through After Dark enjoyed. Yeah. If you're listening, we appreciate your support.
Absolutely.
And we hope you'll tell people about the show. We're trying to get more reach. We are starting to do little tiny baby numbers. It's nice to see getting hundreds and hundreds of listens.
And we appreciate people reach out to us occasionally. We really appreciate that, man.
We do.
It means a lot to me when somebody's like, hey, that was a good episode.
Yes.
It does.
It really does. And people who have different reactions, they start to dig into Brando a little further. Then they come and they tell us. Yeah. I love that stuff. People who say, oh, your Sarah Kane episode introduced me to Sarah Kane. Thank you. I love that. That's really cool. Awesome. Yeah. And, but of course, at the end of the day, this is about us and our creativity. So please make sure to, I'm just kidding, but really we do appreciate it. And get on the Telegram. You know, if you're on Patreon, you're already into the show. So connect with us and we love hearing from you. And Brad, any final words on MF Doom?
No, just if you have not listened to Mad Villainy, for the love of God, listen to Mad Villainy and just listen to the whole thing.
It's like, not a huge album. It's like, what, like 40? I mean, it's a huge album. It's like 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah. On a drive is good. A nighttime drive is good. Or just beginning to end would be my recommendation. Let it kind of wash over you a little bit.
Yeah. MF Doom Sound Archaeology. I think that might be it.
All right, buddy. All right, man.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. What are we doing? Are we doing Rejoice tomorrow? Rejoice.
We're doing Rejoice tomorrow with the great Aldous Asterion and the great Aaron Gwynn. It's going to be fantastic.
Aaron Gwynn, friend of the show.
And we're going to touch for a second on Doom because I think we want to make this Doom to Joyce, hip hop to Joyce.
I love it.
And I know Aldous Asterion is a Doom fan, so it'll be good. Okay.
All caps when you spell the man's name.
That's right.
All right. Later.